It's a pleasure to welcome to the show former All-Star pitcher with the A's and the Cardinals, Mark Mulder, and he's here to talk about his participation in the annual golf tourney up there in Edgewood in July at Tahoe, the American Century Golf Championship. And Mark, I'm sure you've been asked this many times before. If you had dedicated yourself and your athletic ability to golf, do you think you would be up there in a world top 10, or is do you ever think about things like that?
To be honest, no. I really don't think about that much. You know, for me, golf was just always something that I played maybe 5-10 times as a kid. In the summertime, my dad didn't really play much. I had a few buddies that played, so I would tag along with them from time to time, and it was just always my outlet. Then once I got into baseball, I played a little bit in high school, didn't play much at all in college, and then once I got into pro ball, obviously with the A's having spring training in Arizona and me spending the off seasons October through February, you know, in Arizona, that's when I really started to love it. And you know, we'd go to the complex, work out at 8 a.m. with the A's, and by, you know, 11:30, 12 o'clock, a group of us were teeing off. So that was always just kind of how my passion for it started. And then obviously once the season started, you know, we played a few times a month on the road, and it was just a way to get away, you know, off day, whatever it was. It was fun.
You know, it's interesting because I remember, like, when I was in college and they'd have these celebrity things, and it was always Rick Rodin, the old Pirates,
yeah.
Yankee. He was always the guy. And so, and now it's you. What is it about pitchers that, is it the off days where you get to golf, or what is it?
No, I think to be fair, I mean, if you think about it, there's very few things in sports where nothing can happen until you do it. Mm. Whether it's shooting a free throw, whether it's, I don't know, throwing a pitch, hitting a golf ball, there's, you know, everything else is a reaction.
Hmm.
You know, these aren't. I think the mental side, the cerebralness of this type of stuff, it's a mental grind. I mean, you see the people who have the golf issues, the throwing issues, the free throw issues, whatever it might be. It's definitely something where your mind can overtake something. And I just think as a pitcher, you know, it's a very similar type thing. And I think it's, you know, that's what makes it so attractive to so many pitchers, I guess.
We know that there's a crackdown, if you like, on something that has been supposed to be illegal, and that's substances to create spin rate. And, of course, with all this new technology we have where we can, you know, suss out the spin rate of pitchers, and, you know, we've seen pitchers like Tyler Glasnow saying this is detrimental. Where do you sit on the crackdown? And honestly, how much did you rely on any type of substance or not when you pitched?
I didn't use anything other than licking my fingers.
Mm-hmm.
I had a sign, I want to say this was probably my second or third year. I put a bunch of bullfrog sunscreen on my hand and put a bunch of rosin on my hand. And I went to go throw a side one day, and I hated the way it felt because it was too dusty. It was too powdery from the rosin. And I never understood why guys were like, oh, it'll make it sticky. And it never made sense to me. Maybe I did it wrong. Who knows? But the point is, I could just use the sweat on my head or my jersey, however sweaty I was, or wipe my arm. And that was enough for me because, you know, I do agree with the guys saying these balls, when they're rubbed up, they come out very dusty. So, yeah, there were definitely times where grip was a thing. But, you know, the whole spin rate and all that stuff, that was before my time. So I never experimented with what any sort of a substance could do as far as making my pitch better. I was so stupid, to be honest with you. I thought because I had a power sinker, I thought that was because I had such high spin. Once spin became a thing, well, come to find out, that's the complete opposite. So my smarts on that. So I'm a little indifferent to it. You know, I mean, the hitters are using four or five different things for their advantage. You know, they want to hold on to a bat. I do understand pitchers want to hold on to a ball. Now, like I said, that the spin rate and what that does to make the pitcher better, okay, I can understand how that's wrong. But, you know, maybe that pine tar, maybe that batter holding on to that bat just a little too well, maybe that's an advantage for him. So there's just a lot to it. And to be fair, I don't know if I see it either way because at this point in my life with the ages of my kids and as busy as I am, I'm not exactly watching a ton of baseball to begin with. So, you know, I'm a little little indifferent, but I also want guys to be safe out there if pitchers aren't able to hold on to those balls as hard as they're throwing it now.
A couple more questions from Mark Mulder, and he'll be at the American Century Golf Championship at Edgewood next month. When you were drafted second overall by the A's out of Michigan State, it was, you know, Pat Burrell and then you. Your minor leagues, it was a blink. You got fast-tracked, and when they called you up, the ERA was over 5. The next year, you know, we won like 21 games or whatever it was. What did you know you were being fast-tracked at the time, and did you think to yourself, geez, I'm being rushed, or did you think, hey, man, I'm ready to go. Let's go to the bigs.
Looking back, I'll tell you, at that moment, no, I didn't exactly think I was being fast-tracked. I thought I deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Instructs right after I signed, and I dominated. I went to the Arizona Fall League right away after I was drafted, and I pitched really well against all double A and triple A guys. So them sending me to triple A at that moment, I was like, yeah, okay, cool. I'm ready for this. The reality is, looking back, is I didn't have a work ethic. I didn't have a routine. I wasn't ready for because no one had taught me that. So when I got to the big leagues that next year, I still wasn't really prepared that way to be a big league pitcher. So that rookie year, I wasn't believing in my stuff. I was just listening to my pitching coach give me scouting reports on guys that there I am throwing pitches to guys' weaknesses, but yet those pitches weren't my strengths. And the next year, I basically said, screw it, I'm going to pitch my game. I'm going to pitch to my strength, and I don't care if it's that guy's strength. That's when I started to trust and when I started to believe that my stuff is better than your strength, if that makes sense. So that's when I finally started to have some success, when I started to attack guys. My whole rookie year, I pitched so scared. I was so timid. I wasn't ready mentally, to be honest with you. I wasn't prepared to face those hitters my rookie year, which has had a lot to do with my struggles. And we had a few, Sal Fasano was kind of someone, he was a backup journeyman catcher. We had him in Oakland. Towards the end of my rookie year, I made a start in Boston. And Sal looked at me and he goes, I don't care about the scouting report. You follow me and let's go. And I pitched really well. And it was right before I hurt my back my rookie year, but we're in Boston. I think I threw 6 innings, maybe. I don't think I gave up a run. If I did, it was just one. But we got through 4 innings. I hadn't given up a hit, and we had thrown nothing but fastballs. And our pitching coach comes over and kind of looks at Sal and goes, hey, we should start mixing in some other pitches. And Sal looks at the scoreboard and goes, why? You know what I mean? So that was a big moment for me to realize that, hey, let's go with your strength, because I had a good sinker and I got a lot of ground balls. So, you know, let's not try to trick these guys, you know, throw into their weaknesses. And so that's where things really changed for me, and kind of ran with it from that point on.
Very cool. Last question for you. You know, you were Mr. Complete Game for a while. So if you saw Art Howe or Ken Maka, like, walking out to the mound, did you kind of think, like, go away, Skip, I got this? I mean, how much did you not want to see that bullpen come in?
Oh, the minute I heard, like, a pop of a glove in the bullpen, I was furious. But, you know, to be fair, I always wanted to finish what I started. And I also, you know, needed to understand at times where someone else coming in was a better option than me at 110, 115 pitches, because sometimes that 90th pitch of a game where you have a lot of base runners and you might be pitching well, but you're a lot more fatigued on that 90th pitch than there were times where I might have been at 120 and I still had a ton left in the tank. So every game was very different, and, you know, obviously they can see it sometimes, and the competitor in me, I never wanted to come out. But when they did start walking out, yes, I was just hoping for a conversation as opposed to them getting halfway out and point down to the bullpen. Because that was kind of, no matter whether it's good or bad, it's always a dejecting moment when you're getting taken out of the game. At least that's the way I looked at it.
That's Mark Mulder, part of the Big Three when he was in Oakland, and he will be at the 2021 American Century Championship at Edgewood in Tahoe. That will be Friday through Sunday, July 9th through 11th, televised on NBC and NBCSN with special golf channel coverage. The tournament has raised over $5.5 million for national and regional charities, and some of the biggest names in sports and celebrities as well will be there. Mark, thanks for dropping by and talking a little baseball with us. We appreciate it.
Hey, you got it, man. Take care.
All right. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Byline.